Okay, we're going to start with Hosea chapter 4. I was in the Word today for about 4 hours, and my mind was being blown. It was just taking me in so many directions, I couldn't keep up with it. We need to understand there are times when your spirit, where do you want to sit? You want to sit somewhere like in the second row and rest it right there. Whitney can, that's it. Thanks, hon. You got enough juice in that thing? You got enough faith to sit there for an hour? All right, praise God. I really want us to understand now, before I start, I want to get this across very clearly. We are in the midst of a revival. We are seeing God change people's lives. We've not only got this young man came here from Kansas, but we know we've had people move here locally from Albany and Utica. People have come from New Hampshire, from Texas. People are moving here and coming here because they know there's something here that they can't get everywhere. So we want to bear in mind what God's doing. We want to stay focused on what God wants to do. Tonight when we came in here and you guys all started worshiping in the other direction, I don't know whose idea it was, whether it wasn't a conspiracy. I didn't know about it. Steve didn't know about it. So here we go. Everybody worshiping the other way around was such an awesome experience. And the life that you're beginning to feel, is everybody feeling the life is getting fresher and stronger in there? That's what I'm feeling all the time. I'm feeling that life. And so what I want to say is this, is the reason why we're moving this way is, as the first song we sung, you know, I will be even more undignified than this. We got rid of a lot of our religion. We got out a lot of our soul, everything that is stopping our spirit from activating the power of God. Is everybody with me? So now what we've got to be mindful of is we need to be sure that whenever we empty out of anything, we need to be filled. We need to be filled. And we know that we are being filled with the Holy Spirit, that our prayer meetings in the mornings, Tuesday through Friday, are very effective. I think this Friday there was about 18 of us praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, just really building up our faith. The beautiful thing, ladies, don't get this statement wrong, the thing I really enjoyed about it is there were twice as many men as women. Now, that's kind of unusual in a prayer meeting. Somebody help me on that thought. So this was very encouraging. But what we've got to do, we have to be a people that love the Word. Can you say amen? You've got to love the Word. It's no good, because sooner or later what happens is, as we begin to grow and enlarge and plant churches and keep moving on, what you have to do is realize that you have to sustain the move of God personally for yourself. And you have to base your life on what is written. So I want to encourage you in this. Now, we believe greatly in the gifts of the Spirit. Most people, in fact, a lot of people that have resisted the revival have actually gone on to different churches that don't actually believe in the gifts of the Spirit, which shows what goes on in people's hearts when they're challenged with a move of God. Amen. You either have to go for it, or sooner or later you're going to resist it and justify your disobedience or your complacency, which is the same word, by the way, but in Greek. So I want to encourage you to just stay fresh in everything you're doing. But again, one of the things you must understand you're strong in is you are strong in your mind. You are strong in your mind. Too many times we've used the excuse of having weak minds. Oh, I can never remember scriptures. I don't want to see your hands, but I wouldn't be surprised if some 90% of you have said that lie in your life. You remember phone numbers from when you were a kid. You remember birthdays. You remember things when you were in fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, and you can't remember scriptures. Do you know how small the New Testament is? A couple of hundred pages. I remember once a young man, me saying that I didn't like Shakespeare because most of the things he quoted were unscriptural. And most of his love, his love affairs ended in failure. And, you know, it's so contrary to truth. And this guy said, oh, what's wrong with this? And he quoted this long Shakespeare sonnet. I mean, he went on and on and on and on and on and on, like me right now. And I said, now what can you quote to me from Romans 8? I said, that's my point exactly. The people have spent their brains on memorizing useless stuff, yet they confess they can't remember scriptures. It's a lie. Don't ever let me hear you say it. I will personally and gently and lovingly wring your neck. Praise God. I'm going to start with a scripture out of Hosea. You can turn there if you wish. We're going to do Bible aerobics tonight. And so I want you to be with us. I want you to stay with me. And don't start drifting if you're a guest or you haven't been here many times. And think, because I want to encourage you, listen to this by faith. Right now, make a decision that some of you may not understand everything I'm going to say, but you will understand by faith. Are we okay? If you need a Bible, there should be one somewhere. If not, take the guy next to yours and tell him he'll give it back to him later. Hosea 4. I want to begin with verse 1. It says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. Right, he's not talking to the lost, he's talking to us. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Did you hear that? There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. This is what we have to have in our nation. We have to have the truth back in our nation. Are you with me? Are you going to do it? Okay. And then it goes on talking about the land will mourn, etc. Okay, let me just jump straight down to verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I'm going to say this tonight. Do not call God a failure because of your ignorance. Do not call God a failure because of your ignorance. My people are destroyed through a lack of knowledge. There is somebody who comes and steals that knowledge. We know it's written in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. What? Your knowledge of God. If he can fill your head with some other knowledge, then you can't have both in there. You can't agree with the ways of the world and agree with God. We know the Bible is very clear in the book of James and says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible nowhere says a double-natured man is unstable in all his ways, because I don't believe we have two natures. You see, either you have the DNA of God or you have another DNA. You can't have both. Now make your mind up, saints. How can you have the DNA of two fathers? It is biologically impossible. So make a decision. Are you either going to grow in the knowledge of God, or are you going to grow in the knowledge of this world, which later I'll show you is coming to nothing? It's not even being reduced, praise God. It's coming to nothing. Let me read it again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now, if you're having trouble with your kids, guess why? I just gave you the answer right there in Hosea chapter 4. If you're having trouble with your kids, it's because somewhere along the line, we rejected the word of the Lord over the word of this world. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover everything tonight, so I'm going to continue this message in the morning. So let's now go quickly. Now, bear in mind, let's all say it. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Therefore, I will seek knowledge. Right. Okay, now let's start then. Let's go over to Revelation. Let's go to one extreme to the other. Revelation 11. There are some things in any move of God, you got to realize there's a combination of worship, of the spirit movement, the gifts, and the word. And don't try and think that you're supposed to have one over the other. Pursue them all. Now, obviously, some people are more gifted in the word and others more gifted in things of the spirit, and some people are gifted in worship, etc. But most of our giftings and most of our personalities are a starting place, right? The Bible is very clear. It says, allow this mind that was in Christ Jesus to be in you also. let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So therefore, ignorance is an excuse that you continue to believe, then you'll stay ignorant. But if you deny it, are you with me? If you deny it, now I was a high school dropout, right? I left school a week after I turned 16 years old. And the results of my exam proved that I was an idiot. Now, the bottom line is this, is that either we make a decision that we're going to decide to pursue the results of men, or we're going to make a decision that God can do all things. So when I discovered that I wasn't an idiot, when I realized that I actually have the mind of Christ, I began to use it. It's awesome. It's awesome. And the knowledge of this world, praise God, I'm not a dummy either. I've been around a bit. But the point is, it profits very little. It profits nothing, actually, in the sense of it whenever it contradicts God. But we're going to get there in a minute. Hold on. Revelation 11. This one verse, in verse 15. I'm enjoying myself. If you don't, if you're not, then I don't know what to do about that. Are you ready? Revelation 11, 15 says, then the seventh angel. Somebody say seventh angel. Right, it was the last angel. It sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world. Now, one of the problems with our culture is we don't actually understand kingdoms. But there are many kingdoms. And so, I was taking a ride this week and I was driving around with Tim and just on my way somewhere. And I said, that's where, I don't want to call it the evil axis, but I said, that's where it is just down there. There's the high school, the town hall, and the hospital all together. Let that settle for a minute. The high school, the town hall, and the hospital all together. Now, that particular hospital, as you know, is the pro-abortion hospital, so I'm not so keen on it. But the reality is that that is the epicenter of the wisdom of this world, of the kingdom of this world. What is the biggest problem in America at the moment? The biggest problem in America, the minute where you look at it or cut it, it's funny how we don't argue too much about prayer in school anymore and not that much about abortion because recession is our number one enemy. The economy has become so strong in the minds of everybody that our great nation is now giving cash for clunkers. Who would ever think they'd see the day that we were bailing out banks? That we were actually now going to run the country, the health system. That we're gonna actually take away. I mean, this is America, for God's sake. I'm a European. I expect that. I was raised in that. That's why I know it doesn't work, but that's not the point. But the reality is that as an American by choice, I think, what is going on in the minds of people that they can actually think that that way is going to work? There's only one way that's going to work in our lives, and that is when the Word of God becomes the most prominent thing in your thoughts, your mind, your words, your actions, your deeds, everything you do. It's because we can live today, we can eat without sowing, and nobody thinks anything of it. And it's absurd. It's absurd. The kingdoms of this world, the king of cash, the king of, I don't know, what are the kings? All the laws of this world, they've become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Now, notice it says of his Christ, which is, as we know, the word Messiah, which we know is the word anointed. I don't know why everybody puts this Latin word Christ in the Bible instead of the English word anointed. It's a shame. If we were to every time say, oh, Jesus anointed, instead of Jesus Christ, And some people think they're getting smart by saying, oh, Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, I ain't Jewish and this ain't Israel. I'm an American and I talk English, mate. And so English, his name is Jesus the Anointed. Now, we understand very clearly from Psalm 133, when it talks about, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, it is like the oil that is poured on the head. Now, the head is Christ. In the Old Testament, he's talking about the head was Aaron, who used to be the high priest, but now the high priest is Melchizedek. Am I getting too scriptural here, guys? Stay with me, because it's the only way I know how to do this. Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, was a type of Jesus. Jesus is the king of righteousness. And the oil was poured upon his head, and it goes down the whole garment all the way to the bottom. Therefore, if you are in the body of Christ, you are anointed. Can you say amen? And as an anointed person, then you have authority over the kingdoms of this world. Did you turn me down? I thought he did something. Okay. Right. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God and his anointed. That's me and you, folks. Now, let me say this. Let's just talk a little bit about the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Remember, good news can never be good news if it hasn't happened yet. Good news can only be good news if it's happened. So therefore, it's no good living in the prophetic tomorrow. We got to live in the good news of today. So therefore, always bear in mind, the kingdom of God has already been given, even though it's not fully here yet. Okay, now this is not where it's not always easy to grasp. Stay with me, okay? Somebody shake your head and say, I'm going to get this. Right. You see, the kingdom of God is where there's no sickness, no pain, no tears, no poverty, no strife, no envy, no sin. That's the kingdom of God. Because that's where Jesus totally rules. Now, you know I got to say this. I say this so many times and you always laugh, but I hope one day you're going to get it. Americans never grasp what reigning means. R-E-I-G-N. They don't really understand that word. It doesn't really click. It's like we don't really understand sowing and reaping because we're not farmers. In our culture, it doesn't go, ah, got it. You see, only where Jesus is reigning. Now, let me tell you what about reigning. Reigning is not a republic. Reigning is not a democracy. Reigning doesn't care if it's November, we're not going to vote. Do you understand that? We don't vote in the kingdom of God. Jesus is a beneficial dictator. Do you understand that? He's not asking for your opinion. He doesn't care what you think because your ways are wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. So therefore, let's look around. Let's look at this beautiful church where there are so many people of different race and different color and different. Let me just encourage you. We're all wrong. And until you get that, until you say, wonderful Jesus, everything I ever learned before I was saved isn't worth, it's wrong. And I'm going to prove it in a minute. But from that platform, then we can say, okay, only in the areas where Jesus is 100% reigning can his kingdom come. So if Jesus is not reigning here, you're still under the kingdoms of this world. If Jesus is still reigning in your needles and your pillbox and your doctor visits, now come on, we all go to the doctors. I bet there's hardly worse. Some of you youngsters maybe not. I'm telling you, I'm admitting it myself. When it comes to my health, Jesus is not reigning. I've given him a little bit. And if it doesn't work, then I take the Tylenol. So is Jesus really reigning there? No, he's not. Is Jesus really reigning in my relationships? Is he reigning in everything? Is he really king in that area where I've got no vote, no question, no recourse, no what about me? It doesn't matter. He doesn't care about my opinion. Not at all. When you get there, then his kingdom comes. You see what I'm saying? His kingdom can't come where you're still ruling. His kingdom can't come where you're still reigning. You know the Bible, I think it's the book of Thessalonians, when it talks about it, people think it's talking about the end days. I'm paraphrasing now, so help me here. When it says, you know, they exhort themselves and sit on the throne of God. You know what I'm talking about, Rich. Well, what do you think? People think that's talking about a temple that's going to be built in Jerusalem. Well, no, it's talking about the fact that we allow ourselves to sit on the throne of our heart. I've never met the man or woman that is not somehow at least got one foot or one finger on the throne of their heart. Therefore, his kingdom hasn't come there. Are you with me? Jesus isn't going to fight over it. He's already fought over it, and he's already won. Now we have to give these things to us. This is why you find, like tonight, I just want to exhort you crazy bunch of fools for Christ, how you, at the beginning of the meeting, started worshiping God that way. I went, oh, this is cool, right? What dummy had this idea? This is great. Then you all took off. I would be more undignified than this. And everybody starts running up the church. I'm going, okay, I'm going to look more foolish if I don't join in than if I do join in. Because we're only looking at people who are just sitting there looking at us. They're the ones who look stupid, not us. That's true. I mean, if everyone's dancing and you're not. Anyway, I'm too old to have this much fun. Leave me alone. Okay, now I just want to establish those two thoughts. My people, not the unbeliever, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Pride, exhorting themselves against the knowledge of God. Woo! All right, so the kingdoms of this world, once the anointing, why do you think we preach so much about the anointing in this church? When the anointing comes, when Steve ministers, right, you're watching, right? When the wave comes and he checks out what anointing is coming that can override the kingdom of this world that's among us. Do you get that? So if he feels it's a healing anointing, then it overrides the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of sickness. You with me? So, next phone that goes off, promise you, I will eat it. After I've hit it with a hammer. So, here again, another time, an anointing of salvation will come and will minister and take authority the kingdom of sin. You see what I'm saying? And this is why a lot of people don't understand there's an anointing for everything. There's an anointing for finances. There's an anointing for reconciliation. There's an anointing for the love of God. And this is why we must learn to yield to those anointings, because until we yield to those anointings, we try and defeat with his kingdom the wrong anointing on the kingdom of this world that needs to be defeated. Did I make myself clear? I understood what I said, but it doesn't mean to say I said it right. All right, now stay with me. Now listen, this is where we're going to go next. We're going to go quickly to Galatians 3. I'm not going to explain this very well, but Bible scholars, you need to see this point. Hallelujah. Galatians 3. I'm going to be probably speaking tomorrow more about this, about Abraham. Abraham is our father. Can we get that? And I don't mean the Lincoln variety. I mean the first Jew, Abraham. Don't get confused. Oh, Jesus. One of the kingdoms of this world that has to be defeated is the kingdom of our forefathers. You trying to tell me that when they came to this country, they established the kingdom of God? Really? Huh. How come they killed so many Indians? That doesn't sound like the kingdom of God. How come? Let's not go there. Are you telling me that our righteous nation was so righteous, establishing the kingdom of God, that slavery was probably only abolished about 30 years ago? Now, don't look at me like it was 1860-something, please. Slavery was all through this country, especially if you've ever been down south, still in the 60s and 70s. Enforced legal racism. Come on, now go on, look at me. So therefore, we need to understand the kingdoms of this world. This is why we're saying, look around. We have African Americans, we have Africans, we have Hispanics from different nations, Guatemala and Puerto Rico. We have people from where's everybody from? Hallelujah. We have Jamaicans, we have English, we have all these people here. Right, but remember we say this before, many race groups, but one culture. The culture of the kingdom of God. And the only way you can learn to be part of that culture is when you become acquainted with the language of the culture and the way of the culture, which is the word of God, nothing else. There isn't the Bible and the British Empire. There isn't the Bible and the American dream. Do you see what I'm saying? There's the Bible and nothing else. And until we go there, you're always going to be double-minded. Galatians 3. Anybody getting anything yet? Here it goes. It's talking about how Jesus redeemed us. Let's look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Do you know, as far as I've found, there's only one law in God, and that is the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus. That's the only law I've found. You can correct me, Bible students, later, but right now, the only law I have found in the New Testament is the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus. Well, that spirit, listen to this, defeated the law of gravity when Jesus didn't sink in the water or when he took off. I mean, how did he do that? He went, okay, guys, look, watch this. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he was there in one of those? Remember when Paul said, bear with me in a little folly? Can you imagine if Jesus went to Peter and said, hey, Pete, watch this. Don't tell the others. But this is the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus. See ya. Zoom. Right? The law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus is greater than gravity. It's greater than death. It's greater than leprosy, blindness, deafness, poverty, any kind of sickness. It's greater than that. How? It's greater through Christ. The anointing. But if you don't know this, then it's just going to be Steve or me or Brian or Gentry or somebody else that has an anointing instead of realizing we've all got it. Now, granted, some of us are more gifted than others and more experienced than others, etc., etc. That's why we need each other. I appreciate that. But praise hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This is the verse I want, verse 14. That, cursed, that, the blessing, not a blessing, the blessing. Am I getting loud? I'm going to stay loud. I may get louder. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we, somebody say we. Somebody say, I'm a we. I didn't say go, I said I am. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So therefore, because, now listen to this. Let me tell you something. One of the problems in a revival is we think we have to do something for it. That's a law. That's a law. It's a law. In the spirit of the life of Jesus Christ, there's no law. That's why the scripture says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, etc., etc. Right? It says against such, there's no law. Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. Now, bear with me. It's going to take me a couple of weeks to get this over, right? So don't like start sinning just because, God forbid, that's Romans 6:1. But okay, listen again. He became a curse, so the blessing of Abraham may come upon me, right? Let me read it again. Come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Here we go, verse 5, Galatians 3. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So in other words, there's nothing you can do to work up the promises of God. You just have to believe it. Everything else we do is to defeat our rotten unbelief. Come on, folks. When I pray, I don't change God's mind. Oh, Lord, oh, we need a revival in Kingston. I know you do, but you're too religious. I know you do, but you don't believe my word and sowing and reaping. I know you do, but you don't really believe my word and praise and worship. I know you do, but you don't really love one another. I know you do. Therefore, what can I do? You're so full of unbelief. I can't trust you with a revival. You don't have to do anything for a revival. It's a promise of God. So if I can get revival by works, then I should be able to get salvation by works, right? I should be able to get my call by works. No. It's all by faith. And how does faith come? All right, praise God. Well, I've got a quarter of a way through my first page. Now, we are going to see the blessing of Abraham come upon us, which is the Spirit of God. Now, let's have a quick look what define the Spirit. Just go to Isaiah 11. Whoo, mate, I'm hot. Hey, pray for me. I've started going back to the gym, and I'm beginning to enjoy it. Yeah, you got to get fit. Now, let me tell you something about fitness quickly while we're going to Isaiah 11. You have got to be fit, spirit, soul, and body. This is why you've got to be fit in the spirit through prayer. You've got to be and worship and singing in the spirit. That brings you a fitness in the spirit. You've got to be fit in your soul by renewing of your mind. Remember last night Steve said that a person can, you know, be a drunk or something, or they've got a habit and they can be delivered from it, but they still need to renew their mind of the habit. Remember? Right. So it's true about everything. In other words, we can be set free, but until we renew our mind of the habit of religion, of the habit of unbelief, of the habit of sickness, of the habit of poverty. Come on, somebody. Some of you guys have a habit of poverty. Ah! You have a habit of poverty because you were raised poor. Then you got a new father who was rich. But you have a habit of poverty. So until you get your mind renewed, and it's not just enough to, you've got to respond to the renewing of your mind. You have to say, oh, that's why I'm poor. It's because I'm so stinking cheap. Ah-ha. It's because I eat without sowing. Duh. That's what breaks it. We are habitual wrongers because we ain't sinners. Do you know that Jesus is separated from sin? Do you know that? The book of Hebrews clearly says it. Jesus is separate from sin. So if you're a sinner, you can't be saved. You can't be one. You've got to be one or the other. You've either got to be... Jesus is separate from sinners. So if he's separated from them, how can he live in a sinner? Anyway. Two DNAs again, I guess. Such. Right, where was I? Isaiah 11, here we go. I'm just enjoying myself. There shall come, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. I don't know why that just gets me so excited. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. Well, that's interesting. The first thing it says is a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So now let's do Proverbs 4, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. You know it very well. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, somebody say therefore. Get wisdom. And in all your getting, get wisdom. Understanding. Now, let me tell you right now, wisdom and understanding, surely you can see it clearly, is a spirit, not an academic ability. Somebody say, thank God. It's a spirit. Now, every time in this revival, somebody lays hands on you and imparts the Spirit of God, and there's an anointing come upon you, then part of what's happening is that we are beginning to be released from the wisdom of this world, from the kingdoms of this world, and beginning to understand that we can be renewed in the spirit of our minds and get the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of Him. Stop thinking you're thick. Stop it. If you are looking at me or looking at God or looking at anybody with an excuse saying, well, I just don't understand. It's because you keep saying, I just don't understand. That's why. I'm serious. I'm serious. Never, ever say, I can't remember scriptures. Never say, oh, Vaughan uses too many scriptures and I can't understand. Don't say that. Right. Do you understand what happened when you were born again? No, none of us do. But it happened. How about this one? There are certain things that we do by faith. One of them is this. Do you understand what you're saying? No. But I have the knowledge to know that I ain't speaking to them. I'm speaking to God. Hallelujah. You and me. Stay with me now. It's important, man. It's important. Don't tell me you can't learn the word. You know I know the word pretty well. I understand that. I'm not going to argue about that. But I've been doing it for 30 years, for God's sake. I've been doing it for 30 years. Reading the Bible cover to cover in different translations, reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. And it began to stick. Yeah, do you know I've never memorized scriptures in my life? And I'll tell you how it works. If I was to ask any of your mothers what your children's favorite food was, you could tell me, right? Most of all of you could. You could just tell me. Why? Did you memorize it? Or did you sit and eat with them? So do you memorize scriptures or sit and eat with the author? Sit and eat with your father until you get it. That's how I did it. All right. Now, wisdom is the principle. Let me make this statement. I'll talk about this again tomorrow. Give me a few more minutes. Earthly wisdom denies the cross, which is the power of God. Listen to me. Earthly wisdom denies the power of God, which is the cross. The cross is where all sin and the effects of sin, sickness, poverty, shame, rejection, where they lost their grip. Do you understand that? It was at the cross where sin was defeated. There was no poverty, pain, sickness, tears in the garden. I want to tell you something, man. I want to remind you of something about the kingdom of God. God prepared the garden before he put anybody in it. So God has prepared a kingdom for you before he puts you in it. Are you with me? And everything you need is in that garden except the wisdom of man. If you eat of the wrong tree, what happens? Oh, don't eat of that tree. Why? What's that tree? That's the tree of knowledge. Don't stinking touch it. Because it's the knowledge of this world. It's the knowledge of the kingdoms of this world. It's the knowledge of this earth. It is, as the book of James says, earthly, sensual, and demonic. It is not the wisdom of God. So when you get saved, God provides everything for you. Everything. I mean, and we seem to think we've got to be so stupid smart. Is that an oxymoron? That ain't, it should be. I talk about this a lot. Let's go over it one more time. You with me? Woo. Egypt was the land of knowledge in the world of its day. God couldn't use any of those guys to inherit. They all had to die. Except Joshua and Caleb. Are you with me? They all had to die. They had to die. And all the people who inherited were useless. They couldn't cook. They couldn't sew. They couldn't make shoes. They couldn't build. They couldn't farm. They were stinking useless. They're the ones God used because they'd been led by the Spirit for 40 years. But all the smart Alex, they buried on the way. Okay, let's try and wrap this up with my first thought. Let's go to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Are you with me? Woo! I am having such a good time. 1 Corinthians. If you've seen Bruce Almighty. That was a good movie, wasn't it? That was really funny. Okay. Parting the tomato soup. That's about what some people's faith... Anyway, that's another point. But notice in the movie, God wore a Yankees hat. I like the Mets too, but not as much as I like the Yankees anyway. It's funny, you know, being on the other side of the coast, you're channel surfing, there's a baseball game on. Seattle against Kansas. Who the heck are they? Where's the Mets and the Yankees, for God's sake? I mean, please, let's watch baseball or something. Anyway, it's weird, isn't it? The way you think. You put the TV on and say, oh, let's watch some baseball. Who? So it just goes to show how limited we are in our estimate. All right. We don't really like baseball. We only like our team, but that's not the point. Same with the kingdom. We don't really love the kingdom. We only like what we're good at. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you with me? It's beginning verse 17. Woo! Drink. Hallelujah. Somebody quote their favorite scripture. What do you say? Jesus wept. Just come here. Let me stretch your mind, boy. For homework, memorize Psalm 119. And if you don't know what that is, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 says, okay, get your brain back in gear. I see any more you young'uns talking to each other, I'm going to separate you. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Somebody say, preach the gospel. Right, now. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness. Somebody say foolishness. Foolishness. To those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Can you see the link? The reason it's the power of God is because it was at the cross that all the kingdoms of this world were nullified. It was at the cross where the power of the sin was defeated. It was at the cross where every charge against you, past, present, and future, was nailed and nullified and of no effect. It was at the cross. The power of God was at the cross. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. If I move, am I okay? Hallelujah. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Destroy it. That's when you understand. The kingdom. Do we all understand how many, I might be a little off here, but almost every Ivy League college was started as a school to raise up preachers. Right. Imagine going and preaching in one now, eh? I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The Jews request a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God, didn't know he had any, but there it is stronger than men, all of them. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Now let's just stop there a minute. Six times they use the word foolish. And then there's a revival and people say, oh, why are they laughing? Why is that guy rolling down on the floor? Why is that young man doing a cartwheel across? Why is that man just waving a handkerchief and people are falling down? Why is that man getting a bottle of water and splashing people and they go on? It's called the foolishness of God. That's what it is. It's the foolishness of God. It's wiser than the wisdom of man. It's stupid. Why does that happen? Foolishness of God. Well, can you explain it to me? No, you're too wise. Sorry, can't help you. Too clever. Sorry. If you was to get rid of some of that brain of yours, we might be able to help you. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we're transformed by the removing of our mind. I'm not saying that. Not saying that, right? But the reality is, if anybody needed an explanation of this revival, I thought this was the best message so far, didn't you? I thought it was really good, actually. So I pat myself on. Now my arms aren't loose enough yet. It's the foolishness of God. And the foolishness of God and the foolishness of preaching and the foolishness of the cross and the foolishness of laughter and the foolishness of what we do and what goes on and how we treat one another and why last night I was nearly dying from laughing. I mean, I'm the pastor, for God's sake. I shouldn't be doing that. There's sometimes here I nearly die. I can't get my breath from laughing. I mean, what happened to the dignity of the pastor sitting on the front row? All stiff, neatly folding his legs and Bible on his lap. What? I didn't realize Steve's sitting like that right now. Sorry, but I didn't figure it out until Chris. Now Chris is on the floor. Oh, mate. Are you being foolish, Chris? Oh, he's gone. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Last night, I looked around here. You know, I've been away for a week, and I came back, and I looked at everyone worshiping God. I was holding a little baby, and I was holding a little Liam. Liam's, what, like not even 2 weeks old yet? And, of course, the joy of holding that new birth was awesome. You see, and that's what it's all about. The love of God is found in that. The love of God is found in embracing the new birth, embracing every small miracle that ever comes into this world that the people in the wisdom of this world abort. That's the wisdom of this world for you. That the wisdom of this world promotes self. The wisdom of this world promotes the glory of the flesh and Hollywood and all the sport and the bodily exercise profits very little according to the Bible. Yeah, try and tell that to the NFL and the NBA and the MLB. Try and tell that to them. It's all the wisdom of this world. And I haven't got time. I'll finish this tomorrow. But what I'm going to finish, just that one scripture that is so important that it's so important I didn't bother putting in my notes. So let's turn now. I know it's in James, book of James. Where it is, of course, is another story. Okay. Praise God. James 3, verse 13. We'll close on this. We'll close on this. Oh, let's start verse 11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt and fresh. You see, guys, you have to make a decision about what comes out of your belly. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's what revival is all about, man. It's getting rid of the ignorance of man's wisdom. Getting the foolishness of the preaching of the cross and letting who you really are come through. Remember our principle? Take away everything that isn't the church, and there's the church. But we've been doing this for 2,000 years, and we've got a lot of not church in the church. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. You see, evil comes from the wisdom of this world. Evil comes from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil comes from wisdom that is from beneath. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Brothers and sisters, tonight I want to invite you and encourage you to lay aside the wisdom of this world. Am I saying you shouldn't go to college? No, that's an absurd thing. I'm not saying that at all. As I've said before, all of my five children have been to college. What am I saying? I'm not saying that to go and learn to be an engineer is an ungodly thing. I'm not saying that to be a mechanic or a tradesman, a plumber, an electrician is an ungodly thing. No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is the wisdom that this world teaches you, of which there is no degree. I've never met a man or woman that has a degree in wisdom. Because the philosophy and the idealism of this world, the kingdoms of this world, are designed to turn your head away from the foolishness of preaching, the cross of Jesus Christ, and the wisdom of God that is so freely given to all of you, because a greater than Solomon is here, and his name is Jesus Christ.